This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
I think everybody's here. We're going to take the Upper Clear Creek fire danger off for this particular meeting, request of the good council on. Because the people to talk about it aren't here. We can move on to the 2025 comprehensive plan. Let's say you council.
This is a rough draft, and pictures will change. And we have scheduled November 20th at 5 o'clock in the Twain Room of the library for an open house for feedback and comments on this plan. It'll be posted on our web. Notices will go out in the newspaper the next couple weeks. So this is really pared down from the 2007 plan. It's kind of modeled after Moorcroft's 2021 plan that just basically gives the bare bones. And with my business background, I put it in the format of assets, liabilities, and then owner equity. I mean, I think our biggest resource is the people we have on our boards, in the community, our workforce, et cetera. I'd love feedback. I would really like some specialized on water and sewer, storm drainage, that on page 5, just because I don't know those areas in and out at the back of my hand, haven't been around here part of it long enough. Pretty secure in the rest of it, but always, it's something else that's different about this. If you go to page 2, as a council person, and knowing that there's not a specific training to be on council, I would have liked a punch list or things that you really would like to pay attention to. So I kind of put guiding principles here that should drive the council and the P&Z commission. What are we really looking at? Not that you have to read an entire document, but if you have one document with you at every meeting, what should you keep in the forefront of your mind? And we'd really like to keep this to page 1, but I think it could be expanded. Like, one that keeps coming up in my mind, which should be number 1, is keeping the city solvent, really taking care of its budget so that we remain a strong, solidly budgeted city. So again, I'd really like feedback on this. It is draft. I'm working on lots of pictures, hoping to get lots of quotes from our feedback, not only on our survey, but our open house on the 11th. You're all cordially invited if you'd like to help participate in the table. It's going to be short information, and then kind of a round robin where there'll be a table like for infrastructure where the community could go and leave comments, ask questions, a table for transportation, a table for trails. We're also doing a master's trails plan that same evening to knock out two birds with one stone, one meeting to get feedback on the trails. So there you have it. Any questions?
That meeting's November 20th at 5 p.m.
20. November
20th.
Okay. Thank you, Mara.
The one thing I'd like to see in it is more attention given to economic development and the visitor industry, especially. And it's time we do something outright that directly impacts that industry. That's about the only industry I think we have a comparative advantage in. And it just seems like we need to just a little bit more to stop the fire.
Perfect. Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive.
Absolutely.
Any more questions on comprehensive plan? Interstate and engineering services. So you see a proposal and an agreement in front of us.
So we have signed that. This was one page.
This is my ask too. So
what's his name? Brent?
The other one.
Brent.
Jacob presented this at a planning and zoning about kind of the project tasks that they felt they should be focused on. So this is the work that we would be paying for. It's coming around as a one-page sheet. I would like input on this. In my opinion, there are two things on this. The corridor planning with YDOT of multimodal infrastructure and right-of-ways. I don't know that that should be our first priority. I think our money could be better spent in other areas. So it would be my recommendation to take that one off and maybe focus more on looking through our zoning laws. The other one is the update for our capital improvement projects for 2025. I feel this is something that we could do in-house and not pay our planner or Interstate Engineering for. I think we do a great job with our expertise knowing, and I think they ask us anyway what we feel our needs are, but I think we're getting a better handle on that GIS and can basically keep a spreadsheet and keep that going in good shape and update it every year as the need arises. So I guess I'd like some direction to help point our appointed planner in.
I do think we need to give direction to them if we are pulling any of these off because they're just working on it. It's just more hours they're billing us for. And we've paid a couple of $16,000-$17,000. We have another one tonight for 1 month of their work is $17,000. So our budget's going fast. We'll probably have to do a budget amendment soon.
My understanding is this is more of an interim plan and just a as-needed basis, and we don't need to just find 40 hours a week of work for them to do every week just to keep them busy. That's not the purpose of this agreement. I don't think that we're just trying to find busy work for them. So I think we could use them where we need them, but if it's something we don't need right now, we could wait till we have a full-time planner because it's much more economical for a full-time planner. We're going to exceed the cost of a full-time planner if we don't find one by the time we get to the end of this contract at that rate.
Does their monthly invoice break down the hours they're putting in on what projects?
It breaks down if they had a conversation with Myra, they're filling you for it. So I don't know that we've started anything on the process of hiring a full-time city planner.
I think we need to move forward on that.
We definitely need to develop a job description. We need to find out exactly what skill set we need for a plan so we can help them pin that down.
and some of these tasks would be more toward the full-time planner. They don't need to be done at this point in time. They could wait 6 months.
I mean, job description, you wouldn't be recreating a wheel, I wouldn't think.
We had a planner before. I think we have.
Yeah.
Job description.
Forward on that sooner. You know, if we start advertising, we probably won't get anybody to start until after the holidays. So.
Well, you don't have a budget for a
planner.
No.
But if we spend this entire contract, will be exceeding the price of what would have paid for a planner. So I. Yeah, that's. We need to figure out what we're doing, I guess. So. I can reach out to the end of the AC. Looks like Judy's going to have enough on her plate. Unless you wanted to. Anything else on Interstate Engineering Services? Enterprise funds, rate structure analysis.
This is me too. I think this time we looked at those rates as we brought up earlier this year. It's advised from the state that if we're not looking and taking care of ourselves through our own rate structure, then they're not as likely to help us with funding. They want to know what we're doing or what we have done. I don't want this to be huge. I think we need to think of our citizens, but I do think we need to make slight changes.
When was the last time we adjusted these?
Well, which one? We just added sanitation. You know, we... We used to have just one dumpster that they could buy, a three-yard dumpster, and you had to buy the dumpster. Now we supply the dumpsters, and you can get a two-yard, a three-yard, a four-yard, a six-yard, an eight-yard. And then we changed some of the cans where they could, if you had alley access, you still get your garbage picked up in the alley, and that's cans that you provide. But the 64-yard container,
64 gallon.
Or gallon, and then 96-gallon container, the blue ones, we have those. So that one's kind of been looked at.
Yeah.
Water has been a while.
About 8 years.
You were here?
Big Mike was there.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was to cover the depreciation. About 8 years.
Yeah, the sanitation was 6 of 22 is what noted in the changes were.
But I think, kind of from our conversations before, what we were really going to focus on with water and sewer is changing the structure, like lowering the instead of getting 10,000 gallons for the base rate, lowering that so you pay to play, I guess. So more water.
Not so much changing the price, but just changing what you get for that price. And then additional charge after that.
And as we're learning more with our new system with the water meters, I mean, we'll be able to grab some good data. We had so many meters that weren't reading before, so we really, you know, how would you know what to bill them other than the base rate?
I agree. I think that the rate structure, particularly for water, is... it's kind of backwards compared to other towns and communities. The more you use, the cheaper it is.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a scarce resource like we do in Wyoming, it should be the peak load pricing that pays for expansion and stuff like that, not the old widow that lives in a small house in Burrett Street or something.
So I've given you the rate structures for all three of the enterprises. I think what I'm hearing is maybe water is what we really want to focus on, rather than trying to eat the whole elephant. We'll just start with the water funds. And
is it easier to do it all in one fell swoop? Rip the band-aid off, so to speak?
Well,
or do the others need addressed?
So sewer is a flat rate for residential sewer. It's only commercial businesses that pay based off their water. And I think for the taxpayers to, unless you just say, hey, we're going to add a quarter to each, you know, for the next however many years, we're just going to step it up a quarter of each fund. But otherwise, I think that it gets lost. People, their bill goes up, and they're like, "Now what changed? You know, why did it double?" And they don't understand that we spent the time analyzing, and we came up with the very best funds in water. It would be my recommendation to do just water.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if we're going to arrange that, we should have you or somebody make up a kind of a pro forma list of if you're just user and use this much water in the summer, but this much in the spring, or in the winter, and so we know where the price breaks are in the usage, you know, how many people have buy more than 10,000 gallons of water in a month or something. Okay. But we can work on that. Does have to be done. Now my question is, how do we incorporate this state money when you're trying to make a break even? Water department, we invariably end up with grants to build those things, and you know, taxpayers will come in and wonder, well, why you raised the prices, you didn't all these. All these expenses come out of the state coffers. And I don't know if that's always going to be the case, but we all know how much state money was spent on contracting.
And but, thank goodness we have that, because just imagine what the rates would be if we didn't. And when we do get the state money, there's always a match. And so as we are able to set funds aside, that's just to turn around and match whatever grants we get.
While we're in here digging around and seeing what we need to look at, are the tap fees in line?
Those need adjusted also. Those need adjusted also.
Sounds like almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
They need to be looked at, definitely.
Maybe that'd be the only thing we change on the sewer side is the sewer tap fees. And the commercial sewer might change a little bit depending on how the water rate structure is. But I'd say let's do the water now. Since we did garbage 2.5 years ago, do water now. And we can, if we need to do sewer, we can do that in a couple of years. So we stagger the increases so that bills only go up a little bit here and there. The public would be much more amenable to several small increases rather than one huge increase. So. Yeah, I remember all the spreadsheets from days of water and sewer, so Julie can bring them back to us.
Single family dwelling units and apartments per unit. Just my little sidebar comment. If we're readjusting tap fees, we probably should be careful how many we've been moving. Just a sidebar comment. Oh, horrible. St. Francis Animal Shelter. If there's nothing more on the enterprise funds.
So the animal shelter, if in your packet you have one that has some yellow highlights, this was what they proposed, making some changes. So I sent it to Dennis and Kisa to review. And I think Kisa just got busy, and she has, and Dennis, they pulled the section of the code, and you can see some red highlights or red changes in here. So I don't think we're ready to take this to the first reading of an ordinance yet, but you guys can kind of read where we've gotten to with this, and this will just be a proposed future ordinance to change. And Chief, I'll have you look at, so just going back to what the animal shelter was looking at, the first one I think was just, but you have to get a license, I think, in that. And then the second change that they had was about rabies, and that if your dog has rabies or is suspected of having it, quarantining them, if before they would have to be quarantined at the shelter, this is kind of changing it, that they could be quarantined at home. And I think one of the questions that we had talked about, or at least Kisa and I had, was so it has to be cleared by a vet, you know, but what do we need to see that? That it is, do they have to have proof of vaccination then, or, you know?
Which would be, you still call and get the whole day owner to get proof of vaccination, just so they don't have to be quarantined.
Okay, but if they do have to be quarantined, and then when do we say it's okay? It's like, okay, show me proof of vaccination, or the vet has to clear it. It's basically the way it is. And then they had added something that I think was so we would be okay with it, that so only the primary caregiver or whatever can take care of these animals, but or the owner, and then except the city could go inspect. And we're like, no, if you're going to say that nobody can be around this dog, then we don't need, city personnel doesn't need access to it. Mm-hmm. So
it's obvious that's our responsibility, honestly.
Yeah. Give it a read. It'll be fun.
I already see how the charges shall be paid to the city of Buffalo. How do you get your dog out on a Saturday?
You wait till Monday and pay extra porting fees.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that.
More than once?
All right. Your dog might always on probation.
He's good. You learn how to open the gate and jump over.
So my question on that is about liability. I mean, it's kind of safety of everyone, and that's why you quarantine them. So wouldn't it be more safe even for the owners if they were quarantined at the vet's office rather than at home?
Well, I suppose it is, but if the city notifies them to do it, I don't have a problem with, you know, our being reasonable in requiring that. If they don't do it, I don't know, that's, the city's not going to monitor this. I suppose that's the risk.
Foresee a peanut to squirrel situation. Anything else on the St. Francis Animal Shelter? No. Golf course lease agreements.
Well, we've gone a couple ways with this. We had two lease agreements. One was for the golf course itself, leasing that and operating the golf course business. And then the other was for the liquor license. And then we kind of merged them into one, and that's what we passed a couple meetings ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the golf board isn't happy with that, and they would like it to be the two agreements. So these are their proposed changes. Going back to the two, Dennis has reviewed them. They seem to be, so we'll go back to the $10 per year to lease the course and then the $1,000 a year to lease the liquor license. So two agreements. They were going to get them in their final form and to us. I don't know if we have, I haven't seen them yet, but that was
supposed to.
Okay. Do you want these on tonight's meeting? But part of the problem is that we've got to renew that. We have to pass the one for the liquor license, otherwise we can't. At next meeting, that's where you pass the liquor licenses.
Yeah.
But we could get these reviewed and maybe have them at next meeting.
Yeah, we can do that.
I've approved all these bad changes they made, so it's just a matter of putting it in final form.
You see, so we went from $1,000 to $10?
Well, it used to be $10, and then we changed it to $1,000 to cover the liquor license. And now we're back to $1,000 in this one and $10 a year in this one. $10 seems really nominal.
Yeah.
I mean, when...
$10 in free water, and the raw water we give free snow removal and all. The other perks we give to them now.
And then there is a the clause in there, if there's repairs, anything over $1,000, we pay.
Do they pay for city water and sewer and garbage, or is that part of their lease for free?
I think they pay for sewer and garbage.
I know we give them the free raw water. I didn't know if we give them free domestic water from the clubhouse. So.
That's a good question.
It's probably in hand one of these 50 pages, but let me speed read it real quick.
I think part of their argument will be that this is economic development. That's why you give them so much, so that they can bring people into town.
Anything else on the golf course lease agreements? So we're not this?
It'll be at next meeting.
Retail liquor license.
So we do have one retail liquor license available, the one that Tom Martin's had at when he closed his business and sold it. It is now, he lost it because it's not out of place. You know, he would have had to move it to someplace for that retail liquor license, so it reverts to the city. Tom has actually given us a letter to, once he realized what all had happened. I think a lot of people are interested in that retail liquor license, but there is one that, you know, is just beating down the door to get in here and apply for it. I didn't know how you could do we. So it's $1,500, and a full retail liquor license is the only one that can be sold. So I didn't know if we want to advertise for it. Is it the first to file? I mean, what do you guys want to do? I just know we had, with the last one, we had quite some competition and the bar and grill license and all that. Well, now we have two additional bar and grill licenses and nobody's applied for those. So,
I know Sheridan in the past had some type of application process when they had an extra one that three or four people wanted, and they did some type of selection process. And I guess Walmart was upset because Smokehouse Deli got it or something. I just remember reading all that 10 years ago, that how they did their process when there was more than one applicant, and I don't know what the best way is to do it to be fair.
Lotto process?
Because there's been very few of the retails have actually sold for cash dollar amount in the past 10, 15 years. Most of them they've got for other reasons, but haven't had to pay for it. But if we got more than one applicant.
Do you know if the other interested parties would be able to put the license to work immediately, or is it similar to what we dealt with last time, where one party was actually ready to roll and the other wasn't quite there?
So they have a business, they're open. I just don't know how much it would be used. It's more so that they can do gift baskets and sell, you know, like some of their stuff and put a bottle of wine in with the gift basket, you know, so I don't know how much it will be used, but they could also use it if they catered something, because this is that kind of license you can cater on.
And that's the only one that can cater, is the retail.
You know, the other thing that council could consider, but I don't know when you would change it, you could just not issue it. You know, we get pushback from your retail liquor establishments now that there's too many licenses and it's taking away from all, but competition is good too, you know, so but if you say, well, we're not going to issue it right now, what would trigger, okay, now we're going to issue it, we're just waiting for the right business to come in, you know? I mean, that's how the bar and grill license came around. It was so that, like a Cheyenne, if they wanted to get a Chili's in there, and all the retail liquor licenses were gone. So Chili's has that bar in the middle, you know, and that's kind of what the restaurant liquor licenses are migrating to. I mean, as we get more and more of these bar and grill licenses, I think that you're going to see restaurant liquor licenses go away, because they are increasing the number of bar and grill, so that you can have that, you know, bar right in the middle of it. So that's how we got the bar and grill one, so Cheyenne could get a big fish like that.
I know they tried to make some changes last year at legislative session about the bar and grill and liquor licenses, and I think there's more push to continue that change in the next couple of years, so our the structure might be different in 2 or 3 years than it is now if they succeed in converting more towards, yeah. Part of that with our additional bar and grill last year, there was some changes that happened incrementally every 2 years and 4 years out, and I have to go back and look at it. But yeah, there are some changes coming up from that previous bill that might affect our decision. But
so does the county have so many of these too?
So,
yeah,
and sometimes we end up with an extra one, and as long as they're all issued and they keep renewing them, we get to run with an extra one, and that happens when they annex. So if Love's would get a liquor license, which I don't think there's any available right now, but should they get a county retail liquor license and then we eventually annex them in, then we have an extra license.
Yeah. I was wondering whatever happened to the cattle guard license, because that was a retail. That could go to Love's. That's the only one I know of that's not being used. And they might have lost that already. I don't know.
So
some drinking things.
Well, silent auction.
We can only set by how much statute sets how much we can charge for. So
why don't we just put it in our inventory and use it as a stimulus to as a possible best facility of some type. I don't think having one sitting on the shelf or in the drawer really hurts anything, but it's nice to say that, well, you know, this person's thinking of coming here and wants to build it. House or something. It'd be nice to say we got one available that we would consider for you. But
so what do you tell the interested party who it feels like they are bringing that dream, like their business is going to get there?
Well, I guess that's a chance you take. I think the council has the ability. We could look at applicants and try to find the best use for that license, find a place where it's actually going to generate some income and where it's, if they're totally getting $1,000 a month in sales versus $20,000 or something, it's a lot of difference in our sales tax revenue. That's where we get our revenue from, those licenses, and we don't want to. Yeah, we have a couple retail licenses now that don't get used much. That we don't hardly get any income off them, because, but they've had them for so long, or they annexed and got them in, and they we're stuck with them. We can't take them back once we issue them.
Doesn't that kind of put us in the spot of picking winners and losers, so to speak?
Yeah,
I don't think that's the choice of the council.
Then wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. No, I don't think it. In my opinion, we shouldn't be. But I think that's a much deeper conversation than we have time for today.
What's Tom's goal to try and keep the license?
He was going to sell it, but it has to be operational.
Oh. It's a tough one.
Anything else on the retail liquor license? Buffalo Trails Board.
My name's Keith Flinner, and I serve on the Trails Board. Thanks to all of you guys for everything you do for the community, first of all. But we're interested in the city pond that's out by Heritage Plains. We're interested in potentially adopting that as part of the trail system. If it was to be something that the city was interested in, it does need some cleanup. During the summer, there were a lot of Russian olives cut down that would need to be removed, as well as probably need to run a brush hog through there to kind of get it up to where we want to adopt it. Unfortunately, we don't have any money. Which is often the case. So, you know, we'd be estimating somewhere probably, I don't know, $6,000 or $7,000 to get that work done. But if it could be done, we'd like to adopt it, and then we would maintain it on an ongoing basis with our employee that works in the system. So I know a lot of people like using it. There's just a lot of overgrowth on the trail right now, and we don't service it at this point. So we'd love some, if it's something that guys are interested in, we'd love to potentially adopt it and include it as part of the trail system, and we'd maintain it, the Trails Board would, on an ongoing basis. So, something to think about.
Yeah. Are you aware of what all the Game and Fish has done some stuff out there? I mean, what, is there anything that needs to be done in from them that is remaining, you think?
I think we're, you know, I apologize, I don't have every detail, but I think we're okay at this point. But we can certainly follow up with them and see.
They're good to work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Phil and the, cut those Russian olives down. We've talked about just burning them as weather allows in place rather than the expense of hauling them out. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
So that was.
Yeah, that would save, and that was essentially $3,000 to get that stuff hauled out. So that would save a good chunk of that money. And then
this one would fit in with the wetland.
Agreed.
The city doesn't have a brush hog, do we?
Well, we've got some. If we have smaller mowers, I mean, a one-time deal versus a continual maintenance thing is a different story too. You know,
yeah.
Trying to get that done, so it's. See what we're looking at, you know, in the big picture. So.
I think it would be a great addition, especially as the county puts their trail in on the bypass road, and then if the Trails Board can get their MOU with the Heritage Park to make that a whole system, I think it's a, again, economic development adding to the trail system, connecting.
Yeah, more connectivity to the trails to, so you can get from.
That continuous trail, which a lot of our community members really are looking for.
And even ongoing, it'd be easier to if we have to increase what we pay to the trail slightly a bit every year to have them maintain it versus us, because our employees have enough other things chasing streets and parks in town. They could, if the trails are out there anyway, they could handle that for probably a lot less.
The trails board guy is our employee.
Yeah, anyways, okay.
So we're paying him.
But we're still going to pay him. So it's still not going to, it's still going to be more economical than
so that person gets done. Potentially.
We're hopeful. That's in the works.
Is there anything in there, because it's a wetland, that we would need to worry about?
Well, I think it's designated as a wetland, but I don't think there's any problem with cutting trails or improving the trails through there, as long as you're not removing
disturbing
wetlands,
the wall,
destroying wetlands.
Probably not putting a paved highway through there, I think, for a problem.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue.
Maybe I can get back some of the 5,000 fishing lures that my son lost in.
Doubtful.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the consideration.
Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for bringing it.
Thanks, Jim.
Major capital construction project updates.
Main Street, so all the street lights are working on the south end now. I think pretty much got all the patching done, the temporary patching services that they've done on the south end. And there's an updated schedule for next year and in your packet there. What their plan is, I can go over that or ask any questions. It's fairly self-explanatory. They're going to do, try to do a little bit of work down here on some storm drains this fall by the bridge. Sunset Water and Sewer. They poured the final stretch of curb and gutter Monday, and they're starting the main line today on the final section. They've still got to get that main line done this week. Still got to work on approaches and sidewalk, and then of course the sprinkler systems and landscaping and all that stuff that has to be done yet. Weather's still holding out, so they're pushing on to get done. That's the intention. So. And all of the, the water and sewer is all in, and everybody's hooked on, so all that is done for the entire project.
And it's down just to concrete and
concrete.
Is there, I guess, when's their contract completion date? Do they have one, or they was it the 1st of November? And
Per the contract, I think it's the end of September, I think was the actual contract end date. But we did have change orders, we did have weather days, we did have some things that happened, so that's not actually, and I don't have that number, but yeah, it's something we'll have to look into.
They're going to probably have to do a lot of covering, blanketing.
Yeah, this time of year.
At least that. Last section shorter, so they
keep stuff covered, keep it from freezing. And they're aware of that. They know.
But I guess the plan is to get everything done before.
Yep. Yeah. And, the foreseeable forecast looks favorable for that, temperature wise and everything. So I think they'll be able to get it done.
When is the Buffalo plant closed?
They don't really close.
No, they don't. They've always shut the plant down.
They used to shut down winterize it and then start bringing concrete from Sheridan?
Yeah.
If need be.
So the other we can still get it.
Yes.
But yeah, weather pending. The meter installation. So they left for a while because we didn't have stuff scheduled out well. The meter installer is going to be back this weekend, Friday and Saturday, to install some more meters that are scheduled and fix some of the ones that we're having some problems with. So we're still continuing on with that. And then the city also sent out a letter to the remaining people that haven't been scheduled in an attempt to get some more scheduling done. So as soon as we get some more built up in that, more scheduled, then he will come back and put in, install some more. So it's still moving on.
Do you have a rough idea of how many are left for to be installed?
I think we sent out 600 letters.
650. I think they're coming back December like 5th, right in there, for a few more days. I had an email last night from the scheduler, the lady. She, their phone's been ringing from our letters. So.
Okay.
Are some of those 650 absentee landowners that don't live here, just have property? Or?
Some of them probably are, yeah. There's some might even be properties that aren't even, you know, they're in our system, but not necessarily even active anymore. But,
yeah. Some of them don't even have it functioning. Facility they're not using
right.
Water.
Well, so there's
right.
Yeah, several different scenarios that have come,
okay.
Come up with that list. So. The wells project going to start on November 13th to do some work yet this fall over the winter until it gets too cold and then we'll shut down and start in the spring. But that's where that's going. I have to go November 12th and 13th down to Select Water Committee to defend our sponsored contingency fund that we requested funding, additional funding for the wells project. So it looks favorable that we'll get it. So anything else at this point? Project we got going up there, the 600-gallon water tank at the waste at the water treatment plant. So we've satisfied the SRF loan application process, and we've been recommended for approval for the $600,000 with the loan forgiveness remaining at 0.75% interest. And this would be considered as a state land investment board in February sometime. Not exactly sure the date yet, but another.
If they're running, if the lid isn't coming to this one,
too. So that's on that. The business park. Haven't forgot it. We are getting the bid stuff put together to get that bid out.
So is three-phase power already in that industrial area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And has any attempt, I mean, to lure, if we could get one business there, I'm thinking like a flagship, you know, get some, if we could get one person in there, maybe it would draw somebody else. Maybe we do a deal just to get something in there to get it going. I mean, it's just
we can give them a liquor license.
The Cabela's with liquor license. That sounds
awesome. Yeah.
That
could not be Cabela.
Gun range right there.
Yeah.
You'll
need to get on the ground floor here.
And we did have that interest.
Yeah, you, I don't know if you were on board yet, Myron. We had a real lowball offer.
We did, but
25% of the asking price.
Yeah.
And are those lots like half-acre plots or what?
No, they're
there's different sizes.
Yeah,
the
they
other.
Vary. I'm not exactly sure.
Because we haven't had. I don't think we've had an active contract for advertising those for a couple of years now since that expired.
Well, I think the last one was for storage units.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. No, no, no. Okay. It's not economic development at all.
No.
So that was the last one that was made.
And part of that, if we sell a lot, we've got part of the money goes back to the state to reimburse them for their investment in that project. So, okay.
But again, just
but
to get
just
something.
Yeah, I'll be more
look like civil relation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good idea, man.
There's a couple pieces of concrete you have to pour punch list items on the main the alley project. We're gonna pour that stuff on Thursday. There's a gutter, a small chunk of concrete over by Amy.
A triangle in
yep.
the back that
yep.
people keep driving through in the winter.
Yep, that's all scheduled to get done Thursday.
Okay.
The lights on Cinema Drive, they're going to start going in with those next week, getting the bases put in.
Are they boring it? Or I just noticed there's a lot of flags up.
Yep, some of it will be bored, some of it will be trenched.
Trenched.
It just kind of depends on the area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of obstacles out there. So
we're not going to use the same boring company.
Yep, visionary broadband.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing I noticed, somebody
called Dan or tell him to get ready to fix gas on this.
The one thing I noticed, the corner of Cinnamon and Flagstaff, those Bryce has all that loads of hay there, but he's got them stacked right to the corner. And if you're in the car, you can't see around the corner until you're right there, and people don't always slow down. I don't know if he's not going to be able to sell that immediately. It'd be nice if he could back up a few of those, just make a line of sight around the corner better. I think you only have to move 3 or 4 bales to make it a little easier there. But that's just something I didn't notice until dark, I'm trying to go around the corner and somebody was coming right at me. They don't always stay in the lane when there's virtually no traffic there 90% of the time.
Until there is.
Yeah. Until it's, oh shit.
It'll help.
Shoot. The councilman meant to say shoot.
So that's really all I have on that. Don't have any questions there. I've got a couple of department head items. And that is one being the green waste containers. We picked up the red cans, which is typically November 1st when we do that. But we'll leave the big dumpsters out through the end of November. I spoke with Fall Mountain and they said they'd be fine with that. There's still a lot of leaves on the trees.
Yeah.
And a lot of people
yeah.
use
them. Oh, yeah.
Didn't we do that last year, too?
I think
yeah,
we
did.
It'd probably be better just to revise our contract and go to the extra month.
Yeah, we could. I mean, it's just you never know what the weather's going to be.
Some years
we kind of just make that call weather pending. So.
Some years we that whole place is full of snow by
yeah.
yeah, first of November.
Got the broken pipe repairs made at the pool. Got concrete fixed, pipes fixed, water back in the pool. So cross fingers, hopefully we're in good shape with that for next year. And lastly, we've got some items put in a big iron auction. And that auction is actually on the 13th of this month. So it's active and you can see all that stuff out there. Gee, that's some cars, some old cars you want to get rid of. There's not a lot in there, but just some old stuff that we don't use anymore. So.
Got any bids?
Yep.
Yes.
Everybody's looking for a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really all I've got, unless anybody's got any questions.
Payton. He's getting a bicycle with a flat tire.
We don't get the light bars if we buy a car.
You do. You just have to come to work for me.
Yeah, his brother still calls him Picasso, so it was an interesting weekend of how he faces it. Big timber. Anything else? That's
all I got.
Legal.
The only thing I've got, I got the easement ready to go to Brett McCoy for that electrical line. I'll get that out today. Got the easement finally surveyed in.
Okay. Ms. Julie.
Tonight we have third reading of the ordinance for transient merchants. Proclamation for Poppy Day, and Tracy Colson with the Buffalo Trap and Ski Club will be requesting a variance to the noise ordinance for the New Year's Eve shoot that he does every year.
Where's that going to be held at?
Out at the shooting range.
Main Street. Oh.
Well, I get that.
Your neighborhood.
Sentry Club.
Midnight track. A couple things. First, I want to thank Kevin and his folks for all the help with the ashes on the table, trunk or treat, Monster March. It was a busy couple weeks with shutdowns, and appreciate all your help. I mean, we talked a lot on the phone, and he had everything ready to go, and I heard a lot of really good things about how well organized it was.
Oh, yeah.
And how well it, how smoothly it ran, and that goes to everybody in the room. Ashley, but everybody, that was a pretty big deal, I thought, not knowing kind of where or how many that was going to be, and it turned out to be a really good event with no issues, except for everything broke loose. Attendance was like shut everything down on that day, but other than that, it was good. So thanks, appreciate it. Please tell your folks, thank you so much for doing that. As far as the department goes, we did have three show up for testing yesterday morning. Only one out of the three passed our PT portion and moved on, so he did very well. He actually goes for a polygraph today. Very nice young man, so hopefully he gets through the next couple phases and we can get that position hired. Councilman Madden, I know you had brought up that concern about the speed on Main Street, so for the last 3 weeks, we had the trailer set up there. We did a lot of speed enforcement. We did a speed survey, and the average mile per hour is 18.8 miles an hour coming through town. So,
what's the standard deviation?
Plus or minus 18.
Yeah, exactly. We had a couple. I think our highest speed was 29 miles an hour. It was a stop and warning for that. So we haven't seen the 35, 40 or whatever. I know it sometimes seems faster as you're standing
up.
I don't know if that maybe it's because of the increased enforcement or the speed trailer, but we'll continue to monitor that and make sure that we're going to keep an eye on that.
Good that you're getting that background.
Yep.
Information.
Yep. So if you want to let those folks know that it's been addressed, and we'll continue to monitor that. I do have one. I can't really get into the particulars of the case, but I think it's very, very important that I let you guys know, because it's still kind of an active investigation. But we did assist with an investigation with other agencies, and then here, just outside of town, we assisted and we recovered 3,500 fentanyl pills out of a car. Misdemeanor meth, misdemeanor marijuana, $4,500 in cash, a weapon, and two arrests. So we're still hitting the drug game hard. Again, I can't really get into a bunch of details. However, I think it's very important that you guys know this is what we're doing. And so as maybe more details come along later down the road and things progress, I'll be able to get into it. But just to know that that is still an issue that we're battling every day, and our officers are doing a really good job hitting the streets and looking for that stuff. And you know, this was like at 1:30 in the morning I got the phone call. So, you know, whether it's Saturday, Friday, Monday, it doesn't matter what time of day, we're out there, and just know that your officers are doing a really good job and being very proactive, which isn't really happening a lot these days. But, yeah, so huge case. Great job done by those folks. So I probably will not report on that tonight. I just thought it was important for you guys to know. Pretty good seizure for a lot of fentanyl. So that's one car. That's the scary thing, right? Like that's one vehicle that's traveling up, you know, 90, that's coming through town here and doing that connection. So other than that, I think that is all that I have.
Went down to California 2 weeks ago to the ICC Expo convention. I got some CEUs there, took some pretty handy courses. Learned some things I didn't know, so that was good. I'll be up in my travel budget next year because I'm not staying in those hotels anymore like that. Trying to save the city a dollar, but that was a little rough. But other than that, it was a good trip. Got some CEUs earned and stuff. So if you're in building code, that kind of thing, it was a good thing. So other than that.
You could all get together and kind of nerd out all in one spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about stuff, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. It loses track quick because the code thing is that everyone has kind of their own take on it. So there was a lot of, well, I think this, I think that, and at the end of the day, what is the real deal? So, other than that, I got plan review for the ambulance barn. I'm done with the review. They've submitted a few changes, but their contractor isn't licensed, so I won't be issued a permit until they can figure out what they're going to do there or if they're going to get licensed and bonded with us.
Is that in the city limits already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in the city limits. So their plan's good. It's just ironing some of that out. I've reviewed the plan for the FFA building, Jim Dawson building. They have some corrections to make and resubmit
Dawson Hall
on their plan. So their contractor's good standing, good everything, but they have to make a few corrections on their plan and resubmit. And so it shouldn't be long before they're wanting to do something out there. So, and that Loves is blowing and going. They'll,
oh, wow.
I think they're shooting November 19th to be complete, an open date in December, so by the end of November they'll be up and running basically.
That's pretty much on schedule.
It's on schedule,
that's
yeah.
What we were shooting for when they started, yep.
Yep. They got all the asphalt down last week. And
they have a straight.
Yep.
Yeah, they're straight.
And it's crazy.
So that's all up and going. That's all I really got.
So on that 4-H building, mm-hmm. I think there's a little confusion, and maybe it's just a conversation we need to have with Jim Dawson. So because it's our building, it's going to be on our property, he thinks we should be responsible for the builder's insurance and for some of these other things. And I know he's like, are we going to put in the sewer line, and are we? And I thought we were done. Like, here is some land.
Right.
And... I mean, because I don't need to put another building up, you know. I mean,
not the builder's insurance, it's their loss if something happens. I mean, the contractor's covering his insurance, but that doesn't cover if there's a fire, or a big windstorm comes through in the middle of the building, blows the building down, they're out, whatever that loss is. And I mean, if you're building the building, I don't agree that we should carry builder's insurance for something we're not paying for.
In fact, that's how they sold it to us.
Yeah.
No cost to you guys. Just going
well, and we came back and then gave them a break on building inspection fees and water.
Tap, yep.
Yeah, I really want to hold the line there.
Yeah. We need to tell him he needs to buy his own builder's risk.
Wasn't that the mouse of cookie and yeah.
Wasn't it the commissioners really pushing this thing? Maybe they want to chip in some things. Daddy Warbucks or something.
They go right to that.
Less of a comment.
Just tell them the commissioners have agreed to do it. We'll put words in the commissioner's mouth if they do this.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Councilman Matt.
The only thing I had, I hadn't heard back. Did they ever decide what to do with the extra ARPA funds? Or the return fund that they were going to get back. I don't know. I was thinking our Main Street project, we could actually, those funds, we could apply them and be encumbered by the end of the year, but it's getting late now. If they award them, we can't.
We sent that letter for all those projects, and we did get a letter back saying, no, we're not taking any new projects on.
Okay.
So I think they're just going to dole it out for anything that was already.
So we might get more part of our match back or something additional.
Anything else, Scott?
No.
Agent Mike?
Nothing.
Vice Mayor?
No, sir.
Councilwoman?
No.
Mr. Haskins? Nothing. Ms. Kate? Any? Okay. November 13th will be a busy day. Don't forget the Boys and Girls Club breakfast is also that day. There's a couple other things going on December or November 13th. Next department head meeting, December
35th.
December 35th.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm there. I kind of feel like Joe Biden. Just read off the teleprompter. Okay. I do believe it's December.
Yeah. Okay.
So December 5th.
Thanks.
And don't forget to vote today if you haven't voted yet.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.